Recorded live right here in Little Rock, Arkansas, it's Larry's Rants, Raves, and Reviews. And now, here is Larry.
Hey, everybody. Oh, they are excited and wild tonight, buddy.
Oh, yeah, just like always.
Well, I'll tell you, we drew a bigger crowd tonight because Dr. J's on here.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, we've got our first guest, and I have been looking so forward to this show. It is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dr. J, I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning. Oh, I was so excited.
Hey, I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me on. I'm ready.
Okay.
I've been ready since you asked.
Well, we're going to rock and roll on this. We've been planning it for a long time. He was going to be our guest sooner, but he had to take his son. He's going to college in New Orleans, right?
New Orleans, Loyola University.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. So he's there about his fourth or fifth weekend now.
Randy, we can make trips with he and his wife down there.
Let's do it.
A lot of seafood.
I know it.
Let's go. Know.
Let's go.
Hey, you know, a few years ago, I would have introduced Dr. J as my chiropractor and friend. But today I'm introducing him as my friend who also happens to be my chiropractor.
There you go.
We've known one another now for what, about 8 years or so?
Going on 10, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. That's for sure. Yeah, we're rocking along.
Absolutely.
So the more I know him, the more I like him. And, so we're happy to have you on. So, folks, something happened at the athletic club that I went and talked to Dr. J about. And I'm going to set this whole story up and let you know. And then we're going to get his perspective. We're going to let you know what happened and then get his perspective. I actually swim a mile every day. A lot of you don't know it, but I go to the club and I swim. And so I was doing my laps. And when I got done with my laps, I was at the end of the pool. And at the club that I swim at, I can look across the end of the pool and through some glasses and see the front lobby of the athletic club. And two guys are always there, the manager and the sales manager, and they're always there at the desk. And very, very nice guys. I like them a lot. But I noticed at this point that there was a couple of guys, and I got done finishing my laps, and I looked up, and I saw two guys standing there, and it didn't look like it was too friendly of a conversation. And I'm like, well, I hope they're not getting too big of a hassle. But, you know, these days people get real weirded out, and everybody's got their attitudes on high alert and everything. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I didn't think too much about it. So I just went ahead and got out of the pool and got in the shower and went in the locker room. And I came in the locker room and all of a sudden I hear two guys standing there. And one of them goes, "Yeah, that nigger." And I'm like, and then the other one had an attitude and he goes, "Yeah, and that other nigger." And they were just slicing and dicing my two buddies out front. And it really made me mad.
Wow.
Now, the two guys that were saying this were two black guys. The manager and the sales manager are two black guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, it just frustrated the heck out of me. And it just upset me to beat the band. I got to tell you. I went home that night. Counted my money, you know, from the restaurant, which always kind of makes me happy, but it didn't make me that happy that night. And we're just, you know, Carol and I sit down and we eat and we're watching TV. And I got to be honest with you, Dr. J, about 8 or 8:30, I just reached over and I hit the remote and I paused the show we was watching. And I said, "I got to tell you, Carol, what in the world is going on?" I said, "I am very upset. I got to talk to somebody about it." So I relived the story with her. And I said, it just frustrated me so much and it made me so angry that two guys would come into my locker and talk that way. And I said, I just needed to vent. You know, we had a few moments of conversation and then we went on. So then we went to Dallas about the next weekend and I was telling the kids. And on the way back, the thought just occurred to me, I'm going to go talk to one of my black friends. First person that popped in my head was Dr. J. So Dr. J comes into Bobby's all the time and has lunch. And I said, "Dr. J, you got a few minutes?" I said, "Do you mind if I come out and sit down and talk with you?" He knows, "No, coming out." So I went out and I shared the story with him. And I said, I would like to have your perspective as a black man. I would like for you to share what your feelings are and why you feel like these guys have the right to say this and things. So I shared this story with him. And then Dr. J, you and I launched into a 20, 30 minute conversation.
Sure.
And you shared some real insight and perspective, and I so appreciated it because it helped me out. It kind of unburdened me, if you will, because I could tell that it upset you and as much as it did me. So kind of pick up the story from there. What was your first impressions when you heard all this going on?
Sure. First and foremost, and I think I said this to you at the restaurant, everything that I do and say, is guided by my faith in God, right? And my values, my morals, my upbringings from my parents.
Right.
I am not any means a representative for a whole group of people, but I'm going to tell you what Dr. J thinks.
There you go.
How Dr. J feels about it.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, that word is, it is a horrible word. It is a stain in our history.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use the word. I have a son, as you stated. We have one son. He's our only child. And I've always taught my son that word is a line crosser. That word is something that we don't say, we don't joke around with. He's not allowed to listen to any music around me with that word in it,
mm-hmm.
Simply because of the way that I was raised. And the way that I was raised, and we kind of went into that. By the time I was in high school, getting ready to graduate, every person in my family at least had a master's degree, okay? And the reason I'm saying that is I'm not a braggadocious. I'm not trying to say that makes me better than anyone, because it doesn't. But I'm telling you that faith and education were very, very, very important in my house and my upbringing.
And how many siblings do you have?
I have two older brothers.
Okay.
My oldest brother he's a retired educator, and he's done some work politically, with a lot of past candidates and past civil servants. My middle brother, he's a dean at a school in a college in Tennessee. He's a PhD level mathematician, and of course, I do my thing as a chiropractic physician. So, that just kind of frames, if you will, the type of household I come from. Right now.
Now, let me interrupt you for one second.
Yes.
They sound very successful, okay?
Okay.
But they have they ever been on a podcast?
Who, my brothers?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. You might have a leg up on them.
That's right. We're going to start bragging, because I know this podcast is going to hit number one pretty soon, man.
There you go.
Absolutely.
You're going to put it there.
Well, hey, I'm honored that you think that. but no, just to continue on there, even in elementary school, and I'm a 70s baby, and practically grew up in the 80s. Hearing that, it's a different culture now that we live in. That's what we have to understand. It's a very, very different culture. You did not hear that word on the radio. You didn't hear that word in media unless it was referencing a certain time period. You didn't hear other cultures using that word so freely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm gonna juxtapose that with the culture that we're in now, to where, a lot of the music nowadays, and it's not just in rap and hip hop, it's other genres, that word is used. And that word is used freely. My son, like I said, he just graduated high school. It's amazing to go to his his middle school. Call it middle school now. His middle school and his high school, and you hear everyone using that word. You hear white students. You hear Hispanic students. You hear, the black students, of course. Everybody uses that word, and it's taken on a different sort of meaning, if you will, amongst the younger generation. So my wife and I had to sit down and have a conversation and make sure that he understood that that word was still very much so off limits, and that word was still very much so inappropriate.
Thank you.
You know, and he understood that from the time he was in elementary school, and he would come home and tell us, and you know, he would, you know, basically just kind of tattle to us everything that he's hearing, and we're like, well, you know, you stand for Christ and stand for your upbringing, and you know, you hold true to who you are.
You know. And first of all, I've met your son many times and don't know him real well, but I do know him. And he seems to be too nice of a young man, clean cut and everything, to ever hear that word come out of his mouth. I just wouldn't imagine it.
No.
When I went to Texas and was sharing this story with my daughter, she told me, she goes, Dad, I went to Joe T. And she said, do you realize that on the basketball team, the black girls would call one another nigga?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, here's the difference in that and my story. These guys weren't nigga. They were being vicious and ugly with that nasty N-word that we're told is bad, but yet people keep using it.
Sure.
And black people keep using it. And I don't understand why, because it perpetuates a problem.
Right.
That I don't think they have the right to say.
Sure.
I don't have the right to say it as a white man. And just because you're black doesn't give you the right to say it as a black man. Okay?
Absolutely.
And her friends would actually say, Courtney, you know, we're just sisters here. We're good. You know, on the basketball team, you can call me your nigga. Mm-hmm. And Courtney told them, you will never hear me say that to you. And, you know, and then someone spoke up and said, what if she would have actually done that and then someone would have walked up and heard it that didn't know that she had special permission to use it or something, and she could have got her head bashed in.
Sure.
Had I been the guy in the locker room using that word, I'm afraid I would have been treated a lot differently.
Sure.
I walked away from these two guys because they used it. Had I been the one using it, they might have beat the crap out of me.
You know, it's a horrible double standard, if you will, and that is what it is. It's a double standard. I don't care how you cut it. But let me say this.
Okay.
There is a large swath of a population within the black community that will not use that word. So, you know, moving forward, you know, there's a certain population that uses that. Just like, of course, in other cultures, there are certain segments in the white community that does certain things, certain segments in the Hispanic community, whatever. But the people that I hang around with don't use that word.
Yeah.
You know, I go to a predominantly black church. We don't use that word. No, I don't know of anybody that uses that word.
Yeah.
We all look at it the same way. I just think that there are just certain pockets in the community that you will hear that in, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, they're bad actors, bad apples in every group, and that's like
you
I said,
can't broad brush
sure.
anyone.
No, sir. No, sir.
You can't do it, you know? So that these two guys are certainly not
Representative
of the black community in any way.
Right.
Hey, we're going to take a commercial break here in just a second here. But when we come back, you gave me some directive on what to do. And I want to come back to that after this commercial.
Sure.
So, Randy, if you'll take us to a commercial, we'll go.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Bobby's Country Cooking. It's like Sunday after church at Grandma's, except it's Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 2. Homestyle cooking with generous portions, entrees, sides, and desserts to die for. Dine in or get it to go. We're in the West Chase Plaza at the corner of Shackelford and Markham. Bobby's Country Cooking.
Okay, we're back, folks. You know, Dr. J, when you and I originally had this conversation in our restaurant, you asked me a question, and you said, did you go to the manager and the sales manager and have a conversation with them? Remember saying that?
Sure, absolutely.
And what was your perspective in that of wanting, you know, asking me about that?
Well, for one, you are a paying member of that athletic club. And if you are made to feel uncomfortable in any way, then it is up to the management to take care of that. And that is, to me, that is a, that's a no-go. That would have made me feel uncomfortable. Now, it's a little bit different, right? Because it's kind of like one of those things to where I would get laughed out of any place as a black man if I went and complained about another black man for using that word.
Would you really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, to the point to where it's not even something that I would even consider doing. And I'm just being 100% honest.
But from my perspective, that is absolutely unfair to you.
It sure is. It sure
is. I don't like that at all.
Well, that's life.
Okay.
Larry, that's the way culture is.
That's right.
I don't like culture, apparently, okay? That's why I got a podcast. We're putting it out there.
Rant.
That's right. Now, it is unfair because racism comes in all colors, sizes, and shapes.
Absolutely.
Now, when you said that to me, I thought, because you did, you alluded to, hey, if I went to those managers, a black man to two other black managers, I would only carry so much weight. But as a white man, had you done it.
Absolutely.
So I got to thinking about that. And, you know, I'm a very open-minded person, even though some people would argue that. But I'm a very open-minded person. I stew on things, and so I stewed on that. And I went back a day or two later. And after I got done with my swim, I walked up there and I said, hey, guys, have you got a minute for me to share something with you and talk? Yeah, man. So I did. And I'm telling you, both of them kind of bowed up. They didn't like it. And the manager, who is an ex-Marine, he told me, he said, I'm going to tell you right now, anybody that makes you uncomfortable in this club, you come talk to me because I will throw their butts out. And then he proceeded to tell me that, yeah, I know exactly who those two guys are, even though it happened a week or so before. And his buddy, the sales manager, who is also an ex-Marine, I think they can handle their own, okay? I wouldn't want to tangle with either one of them.
No.
Then they said, you know, we know exactly. Well, you know, and I'll just say this and then I'll get away from it. When people have unpaid bills, their temperament can flare easily. And so there was a reason why they were angry. And so I'll leave it there. So it just really, and I did, I apologized to them. I said, guys, I apologize that I did not come to you immediately when this happened. They said, had you done that, we would have walked into the locker room, found those two guys, and we'd have thrown them out. And we actually have the right to take their memberships completely away, and they're never allowed, not only in this club, but in any of our other clubs. And I said, well, again, I apologize, but I was concerned with how it would be perceived coming from me.
Sure.
Okay?
Let me jump in there.
Yeah.
It is the same... And I got to be careful here. Not
really. Go ahead. Jump in.
Not the same, but it's similar to a male accusing a female of sexual harassment. It's kind of like that.
I can see the parallel.
You know, here we are, this macho guy, and you got, you know, the young, beautiful lady that is doing something she's not supposed to. So now we go and we complain to the authorities, whatever authority that may be. And it starts at a very, very early age. It starts in elementary, all the way up.
Yeah.
And the young guys are basically made to feel like, hey, now it's getting better now. It is getting better because now they're figuring out, they're seeing the numbers and they're figuring out that, you know, males can be assaulted as well. But across the board, it's not like that.
Okay.
And it's similar to that. I think that if there were, now we're gonna go down the rabbit hole here.
Okay, go ahead.
If there were more individuals like yourself that would hold people in those situations more accountable, okay. Then I think that you could possibly start to see a change in tide. My wife and I were having this conversation. We were in the car a few days ago. And you look at certain radio stations, okay? Certain radio stations that play top 40 pop music.
Okay.
Okay, versus quote unquote your urban radio stations. There are certain lyrics that your top 40 stations, your pop stations, if you would. Now we're veiling pop and urban.
Okay.
Black versus white.
Okay. Right,
that's what we're going to do. Your pop and your pop station will play this music, and it will not have much misogyny in it. It will not have a lot of allusion to violence in it. A lot of drugs, a lot of glorification of alcohol and that sort of thing. Now that's top 40 pop station.
Okay.
And they are very, 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 you know, careful about, you know, what message they're putting out there for their young people to digest.
Okay.
Now let's go on the other side to the urban stations. All of that is in there, just unfiltered, unfettered. And the idea is, and there are people within the community, and we know this, our young people listen to that, they digest it. And what ends up happening is that it's just it's a vicious cycle. It's a cycle that continues. But the insidious thing is that you have the I don't know if they call them disc jockeys or not. You're in the industry, the radio professionals, whoever they are that are pumping the music in. They play the music, and then of course you probably have management, and then you have the owners, right?
Yeah.
At the ownership level, the owners know that to this particular community, this is going to sell. This is going to make money. But to this particular community, it's not.
Right.
You know.
Uh-huh.
But the ironic part is that at the grassroots level, the parents may not think, hey, my kid likes this. I don't want my kid listening to this. But their kids are eating it up behind their backs. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, I mean, there's this dichotomy of this whole... You know, you talk about and that word is in that whole story, and I don't know how to solve it because it's the cycle. Now I know what we did as parents. What we did as parents is that we monitored what our kid was listening to, and ironically enough, our child ended up wanting to go into audio engineering, music production, and we talked very, very much so in depth about, you know, the quality of music. What type of music are you going to put out? You know, or is this going to be music that you can be proud of, that you can be proud that your grandparents are going to listen to, that you can be proud that your pastor is going to listen to?
Yeah.
And you know very well, you know, you've seen me come in your restaurant with my parent.
Yep.
My dad's deceased, but you've also seen me come in the restaurant with my pastor and other ministers.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of our life, our faith. And, you know, so as parents, we made sure that, you know, we kind of, you know, provided that hedge so that the lenses that our son was looking at the world out of, you know, wasn't the same lenses as somebody else that may be in this larger demographic within the Black community.
So, Randy, your favorite saying when he was talking about the owners of the radio stations, what do you always follow?
You follow the money. You follow the money.
Follow the money.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I was going to say, the only thing I got to say about this, you're talking about the different radio stations and all that. It is the money. If that song gets that rating, they're going to play it. I don't care what it says.
Right.
And this radio station, if that's their style and it gets that ratings, they're going to play it. So that's why you have, I mean, it's like different flavors of ice cream. You got different flavors of radio stations, whatever.
Yeah.
But it always goes back to the money of if this song gets the hits and gets the ratings, then we're going to play it. I don't care what it says. That's secular radio.
Yeah.
Though. That's what it's
about. Let me
ask
you a question about that. And I guess, so my question is, I don't know. Are we allowed to say the radio stations on here? I don't want to put anybody out there.
No, you can't. We can say anything we want.
Anything. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Tell me the rules. Tell me the rules.
No, okay. There are no rules.
So I'm going to give you an example. What is it? 107. 107.7, one of them. So that's the pop top 40s radio station, and then you have maybe a 92.3.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There are certain songs that you never hear on that 107 point whatever radio station. I mean, that you never, ever hear, period.
Right.
So, and I know these songs are popular because when you go to the football games, they're glaring them and all of the kids are jumping around.
Yep.
But there are just certain songs that you will not hear on the pop radio station that you will on the urban radio station and vice versa.
Well, some of that goes back to the program director, and he does have a say. But he's also the one that's watching the ratings, and he's watching the money.
Sure.
So he's watching all that, so he knows what to do. That's or else he wouldn't have a job. Mm. They'd be getting another program director.
Sure.
So if it didn't work. So there's lots of ins and outs to that.
Well, shame on them for airing trash
right.
that's harming a community, whether it's black or white or lime green with pink polka dots. I don't really care about the color. The bottom line is that we keep pumping trash out on our airwaves, and we keep putting trash in our children's heads, and they're growing up. And I'm a big Zig Ziglar fan, okay?
Yep.
I love Zig. Zig always talked about guys that you would take, and one guy told him, he said, "Oh, Zig, I take the Playboy magazine because for the articles. Oh, they've got great articles in there." Zig's comeback to that was, "Well, you know what? You can go to a dumpster and find a good biscuit every now and then, but that's not where I'd go looking for it,"
that's
okay?
Right.
But you're telling me that parenting, okay, I was listening to you, parenting actually works.
Absolutely.
Because I got to tell you, I had a big old paddle in my drawer. It was in the second drawer in my kitchen. And anytime I looked at my kids and I told them, as long as you're under my roof, I'll tell you to get that paddle. Don't make me go get it because my temper will get hot between here, there, and back. It's best that you go get it. I was raised with a mama that we had bushes. We had bushes out front, okay? They had these big, long stems. And she'd tell you, "Go cut me a switch." And you're like, "Oh, God, help me." You know, you prayed on the way there. You prayed on the way back. I confess sins I hadn't even done, you know. And they had little bitty leaves about the size of your thumbnail. And I always told my mama, she would take that switch and pinch it. And then draw it like a samurai sword, you know. And here was all the little leaves, and she'd okay, Larry. Right. Now we're gonna have at it.
Absolutely.
Now I know your mama.
Yes, sir.
If you like Dr. J, you'd love his mom. His mama is awesome. Hey, I'll tell you what, we'll have her on the podcast.
Oh, I'd be sitting over there. I don't want any parts of that.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, she'd be awesome. But I did have something along the lines of that. So the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go.
Absolutely.
Right. And when they are old, they will not depart from it.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite scriptures to kind of help with parenting. But with that being said, you got to look at that word train.
Uh-huh.
What does train actually mean? You can look at the military, basic training. You go into this indoctrination. You can look at training camps in sports to where you go a certain amount of time where you learn in the playbook. Parenting is the same way. You train your children when they are young in our house, it was a Christian faith. So, yeah, we trained our child up according to what thus said the Lord and what the Bible said. And, you love the Lord and you love your neighbor.
Yeah.
And you respect yourself and all of that. And now that he's older, he carries himself. And I'm glad that you said that. It really, really honors me that you said that, he's, clean cut and he carries himself. I mean, because that doesn't come easy. It's not an overnight thing. And you have, you have a beautiful family. I've seen your grandson and met him and spoke to him. He's a wonderful kid. And that came from you and your wife. So parenting is such a large part of it, but the crazy part about it is that the cycle has to be broken at some point on both
yes.
sides of the fence.
Yes.
The cycle has to be broken to
yes.
where at some point someone in that environment has to say, okay, we're going to stop this. You're not going to listen to this type of music. You're not going to say these words. You're not going to hang out with these people. You're not going to watch these programs on television. And, you know, you're going to put your nose in a book. It doesn't, you don't have to go to college. You can go and you can learn a trade. You can go to, you know, become a welder, a plumber, go to the military. There's a lot of things you can do to be productive. But that's the program that we're going to promote. And until you're out of this house, and I like what you said, as long as you're in this house, you're going to follow this prescribed program.
Teaching, remember the old saying, those that can't teach? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's one thing. But training, okay, I like your word there that you drew from the Bible. Training is demonstration.
Absolutely.
Okay, and there's the difference. Folks, we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have another segment with Dr. J.
When your event is catered by Bobby's Country Cooking, it's like coming home to eat. And Bobby's makes it easy. 224-9500 for the best home-style catering available with desserts to die for. The food you love for your next gathering. Bobby's Country Cooking, Little Rock.
Hey, folks, we've had such a wonderful time with Dr. J. We have enjoyed every minute of it. It's a great topic that we need to talk about more in our country and try to solve. So we're going to go to episode 2 and give him plenty of time to continue his thoughts.